Because they go for about 3 to 4, yeah, maybe 5.
Was it played by B.B. King?
No, it just had an unbound fingerboard, which is more rare. It's true. And then someone's asking $14,000 for an original one of these in the show. I mean, they'll be lucky to get $1,400.
Is that the Dallas show?
Yeah.
I want to go to that show.
I mean, asking, that's incredible. I mean, to multiply things by 10. Well, when you are on the stand and you are practicing,
the last thing we talked about was the soloing. We were kind of thinking about being in seventh position, basically, and working on Ipanema.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And I have spent a bit of time on that. I've been actually, when I've been sitting down, it's been primarily single string things, and it's been I've kind of gone back and forth between really working out on a position of a form with all the sounds that I can find above the seventh and that sort of thing, but then feeling like wanting to maybe work on all the ones that I'm weak on. So I've been going back and forth between just staying in one form and in my mind as an approach and actually working a little bit every time I sit down with the ones that I'm weak on. And because I find myself stuck in certain forms. This seventh form, first inversion seventh form, gives me lots of trouble still in soloing.
To hold or to see?
To see as a soloing position. And I'm realizing not so much as a seventh chord now, but still some problems there.
Do you see the 13 right behind it? Inside strings?
This one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting that one more and more.
And the suspended sound?
This one?
The like same chord, one. But with, so dominant. Okay, yeah, 3 this and one. 4 together if you uh-huh. like, sure. You see the third stacks in there too, pretty well, Kevin?
The third stack. Third stack.
The third A7 stack.
A7 chord.
I mean, you just start on the, for instance, the third, which is
the straight third stack from the root?
Not really. This, because we're staying in here, we're not going up into there.
Right.
So. Like, for instance, 3, 5, flat 7, 9. Root 17.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Exactly. As a chord form, though, that you're not talking about?
Soloing. But there happen to be nice little chord forms there, too.
Oh, right, yeah. I was thinking you were asking for, like, a third stack.
You are seeing these notes.
Oh yeah. Right. I see them. I'm pretty much seeing all the positions.
So why did
now.
You say that? I don't quite follow that. It's giving you such trouble. You seem like you're.
Well, it's just it's weaker than other ones that I can maybe.
But it's still not bad. I mean, you can do it.
Yeah. If the tempo's right, I can probably make things in most all the positions. But it's just a matter of when the tempo gets up, the positions that I find myself sticking in, that I'm still having to go through a mental process visualizing. And I wish the tempo were slower. You know, I don't like having that feeling. But that was a significant thing last time about the tones above the seventh for me. Something that I knew and yet hadn't really known at a level that I was using.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. Just that you're focusing on this will please your ear more, I'm sure.
You did this line, I took it off the tape.
Is that for like G, it sounds like?
Yeah, we were on a G7 sound.
Yeah.
Cool.
Thanks, yeah. Just like typical that. Things of that nature.
It's hard for me at this point, say we were playing a blues, to
right.
keep a line like that going, keep creating in each new key center.
Maybe if I just put down a few lines on the tape. G7, yeah. I'm thinking chromatic tones to get some of this stuff. I was just thinking G7. You know,
oh, just straight G7.
Prolonged visit, the first four bars in a blues or something where you don't go to the four.
Okay.
So lines like this, I'm looking for these fifth intervals. I'm purposely playing out of the tougher position for it. So. That's targeting the 13 there. Okay?
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, right.
There you go. Targeting the 3rd and the 9 and everything on the way.
Yeah. The thing about Bob, it's got so many twists and turns, it's just getting there.
Now here's rhythmic offset, 1, 2, 3. Yeah. It's like a now this is the downbeat, huh? Sorry for the pop, I just have to set this guitar up for this gauge of string. Let's look out at this little form, this is a cool one. A nice chord. It looks like D minor triad with an add 9. First inversion D minor. This is just the visuals on it, okay?
First inversion D minor.
Yeah, little baby chord.
See.
Here's the first inversion means 3 in the bass, yes?
Oh yeah, okay.
So triad with an added 9.
Okay.
And this chord also functions as G13 if the rest of the guys have G7 going on.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Because it's got the A and the E in there, yes?
Right.
So it makes a G13.
Right.
No root.
Right.
No third, but the rest of the guys will have it for them.
Right.
And if they don't, if you just play that and play this and play another one, along the way it'll be heard as... Uh-huh. You know what I mean? It kind of blends
in. Well, it's kind of like that one.
It's so similar.
Third.
It's just visually it's easier to see this because it's compact in 4 frets.
Uh-huh.
So when I went at the end of the run... Like whenever you hit this note, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now this note, if everybody else is on G7, can't be lingered on. You know that because it's the size 4.
Right.
So you can leap off it. That's the 5th leap. Obviously this is a nice resolution. That's a bobbish resolution, I've heard a lot.
Right.
You can even go to the flat 9 before the 9.
Smaller fragments.
So do I. I don't remember what I just played. I lost it. It's on the tape. Maybe it'll be... I hate that one. I'm not in control of it. But I mean, it's better than not having it at all, but it's not good if you're not really in control of it. The best is to know exactly.
Oh, I'm working on little lines like that all the time.
Okay.
I've got about half a dozen rhythm tapes in different keys and blues, just to, you know, 15-minute Radio Shack quickies. That 30-minute tapes, you get 15 minutes to a side, and it's a good concentration dose, you know, longer than about 15 minutes on an exercise, and I tend to wander sometimes. So
well,
when the tape stops, if I've wandered, I know it right away, you know.
That's right.
Brings me back.
That's a good point. Do you work ever with your fourths or thirds or fifths in position?
Yeah.
Good.
That
and
kind
you're
of
working
thing.
With your fifths at all?
Not so much yet, but...
They're nice.
They are cool. I don't have them happening as much. I like sixths, too. I like that...
Sixths are beautiful.
...Denson sound.
Oh, yeah. Enjoy.
Yeah, Wes used that, too.
I haven't heard Wes do it.
Yeah.
It was George's innovation, honestly.
I I like it a lot.
He may have, you know, I haven't heard every single cut by Westman from him, but I never heard him do it. I thought it was George trying to be different, saying I can't just totally be a copy guy.
You know? I can't say that I really specifically.
First album I ever heard it on was 19, it was made in 70 or 71, it's called Sugar.
Yeah.
Stanley Turrentine.
Yeah.
And George's playing a funny guitar, it almost sounds like a Strat. There's a different tone, it's not his normal neck pickup. Deep sound. It's a combination pickup sound of some guitar. I don't know.
I think I even used to have that. I lost a bunch of albums to a roommate. So I don't know.
Do you know? I mean, do you have a regimen in your mind that feels good that you're using to further yourself?
Oh, definitely. I have my.
So you don't need me to give you the single string assignments right now. You know what to do, correct?
Pretty much. I've got the books. I need to get through the books, and if I have questions after that, I think probably that'll be the point for that.
Well, I have down here some things that were lingering from before, not too many things, just to ask you about it, if you're still working on this size of chord,
the
V3 kind of size, or you put those away for...
Inclined to work on it too much.
And what about your fourth chord harmony?
A little bit.
It doesn't pull you in, huh?
It was like a hook for a few weeks that I was getting into. And I'll get back to it, definitely. I like the sound. I've really been working strictly on the solos, some of the string solo stuff.
Give you something like that in that domain, since that's what your focus is going to be.
I've been playing a lot of gigs lately. I played a gig Friday night at the top of a 22-story building. It's called the Tower Club, right on the freeway in Oxnard. It's like the Ritz Business Financial Center, they call it. And I played solo for the Rotary Club in Oxnard. Just Christmas carols and nice stuff, and it was cool. I made good money. But the house band was a jazz trio, sax, drums, and piano, and electric piano and things. He was playing bass, you know, on the piano. And they invited me to come over and play with them the rest of the night. So I sat next to the sax player and had my little Fender amp, you know, and it was fun.
Did you know the tunes?
Yeah, we found tunes we knew. We did, you know, standards, did, you know, some George Benson stuff. We did Affirmation and some of those kind of things. It was a lot of fun, but you know, that's the context that I'm the most intimidated in, so that's where I'm really working.
Now, what did you do when they played tunes that you knew but you didn't really know, per se, you know what I'm saying?
I laid out when I didn't know.
In other words, like say they call a tune and you played it even, but you just never wired the changes 100% or something. You would just learn it as you went, it would come back to you as you went.
Playing safe chords, you know. Playing more triad sounds than extensions, you know, and things like that. But I have a pretty good ear for picking up changes. You know, I can pretty much, even on tunes like they did Nights in White Satin and some tunes that they did
another
cool version of
really?
It. Yeah, a real cool version of it. Sax player is a real fine player.
I never thought about that. It is this chord, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little Dorian type. But so that's where I'm really focusing my attention is on soloing. But you know, I kind of hang up in the blues a little bit.
Jazz blues.
Yeah, jazz blues.
Or regular Claptonish blues. Or
I don't really get into that too much. Although I have some students that want to know about that.
So what did you mean when you said blues?
It's the same stuff. It's just knowing the sounds that I want to go for in whatever position I'm in. I was trying to think on the way down exactly what I wanted to ask you about today, and I couldn't really come up with anything specific. I'm thinking about my students a lot, feeling like my material for beginning students is too fragmented.
Which things make you feel that? What would you say brings that to your mind, Kevin?
Attention span in young children is very difficult to hold. I see them just like this, dropping off, and I'm trying to make it fun. I'm trying to do as many different possible things as I can. It's just
it's not your material, man. It's just the kids, you know?
Yeah.
Because there are probably some of them that really groove with it, that last longer with you.
Yeah, there are. I guess I have this ideal that I can find some way to teach anyone or help them learn.
If they love music, you can. If they don't love it, even when they pass puberty and start shaving it, you can't really hold them, you know? But not all the way through a lesson. If they don't really groove with it, you know, no matter how good you're doing.
Did you start with beginners?
Yeah. I sure did. I'd even take them again if I felt qualified. I'm not real qualified at this stage. I think what would be appropriate then would be to play through some jazz blues things and take it bar by bar and just talk about things that can happen that could make you happy with your soloing and make other guys on the stand happy that you're up there too.
Right.
And the audience, that's just got to get lucky. Do you guys know any jazz? But don't you know any Kenny G? Yeah, but we'll play some of that too.
Yeah, we could Kenny G.
I was in a record store yesterday. I'm sure it was Kenny G. I kind of know his sound. And man, he just kept... he must have taken a 15-minute solo. He kept milking those things, but he can do it.
He can do it. It's really
and sometimes he goes outside like Coltrane and it's exciting.
Uh-huh.
He's kind of a stunning player in his own way.
Yeah.
And I can see why he's kind of a star, too, because he plays a more energetic, almost rock and roll energy, not the volume of rock, I don't think, but the energy of rock sometimes.
He's got the push.
That's a real fusion music, I guess.
Yeah.
If there's going to be fusion applied to some music, his would fit, I think.
Yeah. You know, I like his playing. There's some things where I just feel like, come on, give somebody else a chance, you know, but... It's pretty hip stuff, basically, and it's recognizable. Jim and I play some Kenny G tunes, Songbird, some things that are just simple little hook melodies that people recognize. We always hear people go, oh, yeah.
He loves the major pentatonic. I think that's his favorite group of notes in the world, with the blue inflection added in on the little flat third or flat five or flat seven thrown in. In a sense, that's like his main stellar thing.
Hey, at least that's what it sounded like yesterday. There's a lot of players that are that way, you know? A lot of...
David Sanborn's kind of lean, but David can bebop.
Yeah,
serious bop. I'm really surprised sometimes when he starts bopping, I just go, wow, it's so crisp and clean, you know?
You hear some of these guys who are such studio veterans that have been in so many contexts for so long that you can see it. I don't know if you watched, did you just say you watched that song?
I do watch it most of the time.
You can just see, you know, Hiram Bullock, the guitar player, is the same way, you know.
Hiram's great.
Does it need a singer? I'm singing. Does it need acoustic? I'm acoustic.
Yeah,
you know?
He can really
cover. I
love
that aspect in a player.
And he loves to play, you can tell, man. He is so into it. Uh-huh. He's playing. Yeah. He really loves it.
Guy may not be stellar, you know, in every style, but anyway.
He's pretty damn good.
Pretty good, and he cuts it, definitely.
And he's really great. When he goes to play a rock solo, forget it.
Yeah.
That's his specialty, I think, you know.
I know.
He's just so easy with that stuff.
Yeah. I have a real appreciation for that. I just don't do that much.
Tell me your gigs that you're playing right now. So I have a reason for asking before we do this blues thing. Which formats, which instrumentation and stuff?
Well, I'm always, myself, always playing this setup with a pretty clean sound. I'm playing in the big
solo
band.
Things. In big band, okay.
I'm playing in the guitar duo. Okay. And Jim is kind of weak in accompaniment, so I probably play more accompaniment when I do solo.
But you do occasionally solo.
Yeah, I force my time with solos. And then some solo playing that comes through now and then.
What key do you like to play blues in? Does it matter to you?
It makes no difference.
Okay, we'll start in B-flat then, the standard jazz key. I want to back you up a little bit and just listen and then see if there's some things I might be able to suggest. You call a tempo. You find a tempo in your head that you'd like.
Okay, how about like...
Here we go.
Thank you.
Definitely getting mileage out of the blues lexicon also.
Well, I don't know, man. It's...
And I hear you bopping in there every now and then too, you know?
Trying.
What if you tried to play all the changes, one whole chorus where you're making the changes?
Yeah.
If I tell you what they are in advance, would that be a scuffle?
No. I would have to slow down in my thinking, you know? I tend to want to play more legato lines, you know, kind of trying to
get more of a flow.
You should
express yourself whatever way feels good.
When I try to play through the changes, I find myself going, boo ba 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 ba.
Not at this tempo, you won't.
No, probably not.
Because the tempo you've chosen allows for triplets. Boom, nap, bum, bum, bum. Without it. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to play B flat, E flat, dominance, of course, F minor, B flat, E. Flat, but I'm going to go either A flat or E flat minor for me, A flat. And I'm going to do the tritone 4, 3, 6, 2 dominant, and its brother over here, and then 2 minor, 5. And then for variety, I'm going to go 1, whole step that Ray Charles kind of turned.
Okay.
Like the walk, don't run roots, all dominant.
Okay.
None of them are altered till the 5. All these are straight. Meaning like 13s and sharp 11s are fine.
Okay, all right.
I know it's a lot to think of. I'll call out if I see you're not with me, okay?
Okay.
And I'll call out the change. 2, 3, 4.
Oh, that's mine.
1, 4, 3 altered, 6 altered. We'll come back to it. 2 dominant, flat 6 dominant. 2 suspended, 2 altered, 1. Flat 7, 13, flat 6. That's right. Again.
I don't have those changes good.
Yeah. You understand what they are in your mind, or is it slipping
when
away?
When I'm playing the chords, but when I go to solo over it, it's coming by more quickly than I'm prepared to cover.
Let's talk about that. Is the tougher place when it's 2 beats per chord.
Yeah. Now, what we're doing there?
We're dropping the tritone. Like if you put it on the 4th and 5th strings and didn't have the roots, if the bass player's playing the roots, like those approach chord blues, I think we probably do.
Yeah.
It's this step. It's just that, but it's not chromatic roots. The bass player will give you more solid roots, like, yeah, that's right. So it's 1, I mean, that's the genesis of it, okay?
Right.
So it's 1, then it's 4, then it's 3, so it doesn't go cycle there, then it cycles to 6.
See, this would be 1, this
right.
would be 4,
yeah, just
this
watching.
Would be 3,
right.
Okay, this would be 6,
like the G,
this would be 2,
right.
This would be 5,
right.
This would be 1 again, okay, right. Yeah, but you're How are you playing? You were keeping the
I was just doing basic for you. I didn't want to fancy it up too much at first. Okay. Then I started adding color on the stairs.
So, how about if I play that and
We're going to talk. We're going to talk through it.
Okay.
Let's take an area like, oh, I don't know, eighth position. Let's say we play off of the B flat 13 here. Like just four frets. Mm-hmm. Tell you what, I compromise.
That string gives me trouble.
Do you really take the slack out?
Yeah, I think I have a tuner that goes loose. I keep tightening the nut and it keeps coming loose. The little screw in the end.
Do you stretch the strings until they're off the neck almost sometimes?
Yeah.
I mean, really?
Yeah.
Until it's not
do
dropping
like
anymore.
Do this first and then I do it. Yeah. They're all set. This third string will do that.
Don't trust those things. That's more trustworthy. I think we can stay there. That sounds pretty nice. Nice compromise. If you get all your things dead on with these harmonics, they won't be
too. No way. Just intonation.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm looking at the. We're just going to make it easy. We're going to give you one thing to think of on each change at first. Okay, now for the E flat, we're going to play off of. Our form, right in the same four frets. Stay in the same four frets. We're just going to lock our hand right there for a while. We may move one fret if we need to. Yeah, I want you to play off the chord tones at first. Later, please feel free to, you know, change everything, but just to get it off the ground. I mean, you have all kinds, it's just like a computer can vary these chord tones any way you want. Sorry. This tone's in there too. One eight, I said, now let's really see this. This is a friendly chord for you. This is E flat 9.
Yeah,
but if we hold it with the barred middle finger, then it's not as common for you. Yet you do see it if you try, yes?
Yeah.
Sure. So that's what we're playing off of. Plus we add this note on occasion with the first finger. Have all these. Wait, you got to really see the chord shape, man, and that's the key to this. That's really see these two in relation to that.
Yeah,
rhythm, okay. Now, fingering wise, we won't hold it as if we're holding the chord, though. That'll screw up the single line. When you go to finger those notes in the single line, which two fingers will you put on those notes? What I said about locking the hand in.
Be probably this finger.
If we're locking it in, that's the only choice right now because of the four fret thing, right?
Right.
I shouldn't say it's the only choice, but just at first, just to see the notes. Later you can say, hey, I like the way it feels to.
Yeah, a lot of times I'll stretch it out more. But
as long as you can play and see the right notes, I thought this might help you keep your hand there and see that. So for the B flat, we're just seeing these four notes at first. Which really seems limited, but it doesn't have to be. Not quite. For the B flat.
B flat. Where am I?
Okay, this is our target note. What note is that, a B flat?
13.
Right. We're going to build down from it. Let's do this together, please. 13. 5. 9. Flat 7. One new note right next to the right.
So nice song.
Of course, later you'd want to add scales, scale tones, and chromatic tones, but just to get it off the ground, we'll play with these notes.
Yeah. This is that position. This would be.
I know.
That's that one. Yeah, that's the one where I'm weak, right.
So then we go to the E flat. You'll hear some change. It won't be Phil Woods, but it'll be jazz.
Let's see.
Cool. Now for the D, we're going to play off of this shape. Okay, there's a. nice good double stop at
sure,
that third
yeah.
finger. There we go. Right. Now we're going to play off of this shape. We're going to combine them together. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Is it for D?
Yeah, both these for D.
Sharp 5. Flat 9, sharp 5.
There you go.
Use that for a D7 chord. I would think of that more as a B flat 17 chord.
Yeah, it's got so many names.
Yeah. I mean, I just see that shape as a 17 chord more than.
I'm glad you're seeing. So you're seeing the root on the pinky, yeah?
Yeah. Well. Right. Yeah. I don't really see it there. I see it there.
You don't. And you play it as F?
No, I would play it as B flat. I just think of it as a third on top.
Okay. If you put the root, if you bar. Got your F suspended dominant also, as well as the B flat.
Okay,
suspended.
sure.
And it's C minor 9, of course, you know, like a little C minor 9.
Right.
And you might give some thought to the top four notes again, just the top four? Yeah, A flat Lydian has a real sweet ring on that thing.
A flat Lydian.
We just watch this baby like an add 9 chord with this extra note on the top, huh?
Right.
Play this add 9 right at the inside 4.
Yeah.
So if you just dance that third finger back.
Yeah. It's an amazing instrument.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing, you know, all these little funny things hiding in there, you know.
And it'll never end, will it?
Not likely. Nobody lives that long. You know? There's always more to discover. So,
yeah.
Back to the thing. So
this is a D dominant. So
now what we're going to do is we're going to go D flat.
Let me not forget this. We've been at B flat.
Let's do this. Let's forge on,
okay.
And then we'll come back and review everything.
Okay.
Because I want to make sure it gets on the tape at least
right.
once, and then what we don't get back to, you can at least suss out at home.
Okay.
Then we go back to B flat. Huh. Okay, we really have to see this chord shape. I know it's new for you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Not seeing that so clearly because it's got the.
I don't see it at all as B flat unless I remind myself. It doesn't look like B flat anything.
It's got the 9 in there.
Let me sympathize with you. I don't see it as B flat.
Yeah.
I have trouble with it. I just remember where to put it to know that it's B flat. I know that it goes with this Calliope chord, you know, that's
it.
Yeah. That's all I remember, man. Because it looks like F minor add 9 to me. It sounds like F minor. I just remember it's here with that, you know, position of, it's like what you said, it's so much like that.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have that much. Now we're going, we went B flat, D flat. Now we're going to go B flat, F minor 7, B flat, E. So the forms will be, that's going to be our B flat. Sure. Our F minor is going to be, it's a little different than the other one. This option up here too. That same little thing we just discussed. Right, let's see. Then back to the B flat. Now this time we're gonna use this form as our staple. Because we're gonna get some of that motion. Sound the lead in. See, we've gotten off the ground. We went. You know, it's like that half step thing.
Right.
So this is our form. Right, and we use this note in our single line. Sharp 11 in the socket. Thank you. is our chord. Let's put that little chord on it. What I'm doing is I'm adding the fifth.
Right.
And the sharp 11 below it. Right. And we're going to add the 13 above it at the top
at
of this
top.
Line.
Okay.
Oh, wait, we still have to get the chord, all four notes of the chord in there, out in our line. Keep coming. Now the sharp 11 with the pinky. And the 13. There it is. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I wouldn't worry too much about memorizing all the bottom note stuff first. You know why? Because it doesn't zip out of the pack when you.
Right.
It's better to, if your time's limited when you're practicing too. There we are.
You jump from.
Oh, sure. That's standard protocol to go from 9 to sharp 11. I know you know that too. You're just not familiar with this form as much
no
or
root.
Something.
After that, no root yet.
Yeah, bass player's got the root. We don't need it.
Would you grab it with 4 or 1?
I like the sound of 4, but 1 is certainly nice if you prefer the way it's visually there. So any combination of those notes is going to be very welcome. You only have a moment for them, but they come like a breath of fresh air when I hear guys go into that change. You know?
Yeah,
it's
that
so
sounds
different
good.
Than the normal.
Right. Okay.
Then we hit the E flat, so we're right back with. With those chord tones. Now the E flat was off of this chord shape that you're playing with,
right.
But we're just seeing it as the like the front end of a position, so to speak. The higher frets of the position.
I see this, but and I see this. I think I see this more.
Yeah, I want you to learn to see that other one because otherwise you'll be missing out on this third, which is a good target note. I knew you could see this. I wasn't worried about that. It's just, it's important to see this different thing here for the chord chase, for all the little stuff that's going to come out of it.
Yeah.
It won't hurt you. You'll get to seeing it real fast.
Oh, yeah. It's neat how that happened.
There you go. Okay, now the next change is going to be. Which do you prefer after this?
This move here. Still is not.
It feels funny, huh?
Yeah, it's still not a real happy one.
You know what? It'll probably never feel great. It's just that it doesn't feel good to me either. It doesn't feel atrocious, but it's not natural feeling.
No, we're not throwing a sharp 11 in on that.
Not yet. No, we didn't want to overplay that hand just yet. So, I mean, you're welcome to.
Okay. So we got, let's see.
After the 4, do you have a preference between going to the raised 4 diminished sound or to the 4 minor 7 or to the flat 7 dominant? Do you have one favorite or do you like all three of them? Or?
After the 4.
How about E, none of the above? D, none of the above?
I probably, all of the above.
E, all of
I
the
like
above.
The sound of going to minor.
Okay, let's do it. So that means in this position, here's going to be our minor. Looks like this flat 3, 5.
That's
just
another.
A third stack. There it is. Just stack up thirds so you don't have it.
See.
There it is.
Yeah.
That's it. It just lies right in the position. Then for the A flat that'll follow, because it'll be like half and half usually when players do that in the blues.
Yeah.
If they come out of. They'll give you some of that flat 7 too. So here's what we're going to work off. Flat 7 with the second finger. We're staying as much as we can in these 4 frets.
Right.
It'll get a little boring eventually to stay in 4 frets, but just to get it off the ground.
Right.
Flat 7, 9. Third, 13. So that's convenient for the hand. That doesn't feel bad. Now we're going to repeat that. We're going to stretch for that 13. Let's say now, what tones did I spell out to you?
Now we're in an A flat 7 chord.
Which tones was I reciting? because we're going to repeat those.
Times, 7.
Right?
9. I'm trying to see this shape again. This would be like for an A flat chord, it would be here, or it would be here. This would be like, that's that one from last time. So it's 7, 9, 3. I'm not thinking about what you just said, though.
Here's an arpeggio. If we start on flat 7, mm-hmm. a hip arpeggio, we wouldn't go back to root because we don't need root.
Right.
So the next tone we would go to would be
a 9.
And then the next tone available is
11.
No.
Or in the
dominant
3.
And then the next tone available is
5.
But we want a hipper note than 5, so we choose
6.
Right, 13. Take your time to think. That's good. Now repeat those 4 tones an octave up in that position. And at the end, repeat those tones. Good. Take your time. Huh? Yes. Stretch. That's right.
Yeah, okay.
It's just a nice little tone rover playoff, if you know. You'll hear the horn players
tune in. I like this one that we talked about.
That's a beautiful one too.
Yeah,
I have no qualms, but if you want to choose that one instead, be my guest. I love hearing that.
Yeah, those are so pretty.
Okay, so you're going to do something there on the A flat.
Yeah.
Then we go to B flat.
Okay, now what was that chord right there, that shape?
Okay, here's our straight bluesy dominant. Then we're going to raise the root to the 9 and use the 4th finger.
Raise the root to the 9.
We're going to finger now 1, 2, 2, 4.
Okay, is this one?
That's right.
It looked familiar. I just didn't have it. Yeah, that's cool.
Now I just see a 3-fret package to place this chord. I see the root,
uh-huh.
and I see the 9 and the sharp 11. I mean, I just see that package deal, so I know what... If you say E, I'm not watching the 5th string because it doesn't look like the 5th string, and it doesn't look like this stuff. You know?
Right.
If I did this one, then I would watch the 5th string. From that root over there. This is not an easy chord, but sometimes it comes in handy.
Okay.
Luckily, we don't need that low root. You can let the bass player play it. Glad that we don't. Checking my video. I'm taping a video cassette for a friend up here.
You know, in slipping up, trying to take that little line that you did off the tape, that one, I hit the flat 9, and I thought, oh, that sounds okay.
It's music. As long as you resolve.
Yeah, right. It's all there. Yeah, I want to show you, I just had this down.
Lutheran. You're doing some Lutheran.
Very much so. Very big part of income these days, yeah.
Wow.
Little things. This morning, it's what made me late. I got into this one project. A guy has an Epiphone guitar with a bolt-on neck, an acoustic dreadnought guitar with those cheap guitars, really. But he cranked the bolts too tight, putting the neck back on, and sheared them off. And they wouldn't drill out. I ended up having to chisel a channel out and pull the 2 bolts out. And I'm going to have to put a wedge back in. Yeah,
Let me see if I can put in a very cursory manner. Do not play at this moment, please, because we won't have time. I'll just say it into the tape, and then you can study it at home. Okay, now we're on bar 7, so we're halfway through the blues. We're going to try a different shape. Just